Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. The CDC announced that yesterday they revealed who should get the COVID-19 vaccine first. And it is frontline workers.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you. We've been talking about this for 8 months now. We knew that that would happen.
For God's sake.
We didn't know that.
I had no idea. Ah, I get it.
We didn't see that one coming.
No, not at all. I thought Vinny was getting it.
Vinny.
They had to have a meeting.
Vinny, you're not getting it first.
And a vote.
I told you, Snoopy, you owe me $10.
It seems excessive to get to that decision.
$10, I said, you owe me. You're not getting it first. You lied, you bastard.
Yeah, there's three different parts to the CDC, right? There's the support staff, right?
Yes.
There's the policymakers.
Right. That's a D's.
And then D's. There's the scientists, right? So the most brilliant people on the planet are mixed with the people who are like, so let's have a meeting about who should get it first.
Well, obviously I should be getting it first. For God's sake.
Can you imagine a break room in that place?
Oh, wow.
It's like, here's one of the support staff, like a normal guy.
Yeah, right, right.
And then he comes in, and then there's the scientist in the lab coat, like just getting a cup of coffee or something.
That's right. Black coffee, please.
Did you see the game last night?
I saw the virus was a sub-microscopic infectious agent. I saw that, yes.
Microscopic.
Yes, exactly, right. Is that Phil over there?
I believe it is.
Oh, you know, even I could kick his ass. So, you know, microorganisms and bacteria and archaea in there and the isocahedral forms.
Hey,
hey,
I'm building a garage this weekend. You want to come over and help?
I'm building a simple helical and isocahedral form over here, yes.
I can't even pronounce that word.
Neither could I, apparently. So, yes. But the icosahedral symmetry or the icosahedron, the ultimate way of forming a closed shell from an identical subunit.
I have a good time with that.
Well, the icosahedron elongated along the fivefold axis is the common arrangement of the heads of the bacteriophages.
Well, if you need any help, I could hand you the beers.
You know, gastroenteritis and the fecal oral route is also in there as well.
I think I could do that. Hey, you know, I was hunting a couple weeks ago, and I actually shot myself in the foot, and I had to take a hot iron and burn it closed.
Did you get a norovirus?
You ever hurt yourself?
Oh, yes. One time I cut my finger on a Twinkie. The packages of the elongated serrated edges there, I was trying to open it, and I caught a rotavirus, as a matter of fact. It entered my system.
You know, the last thing I would imagine in a CDC lab is a Twinkie. But then maybe they're doing an experiment on how long this thing could last.
On how yummy it is. Thank you, yes.
Without growing mold. growing mold. Yeah, somewhere there's a room with Twinkies.
Right.
Growing mold.
Right.
So frontline workers. And we had a whole list yesterday. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
We made it right here. It was frontline workers.
Yep. It's obvious. Like, if they didn't do that, the backlash was going to be...
What are they going to do?
Forget it.
Well, I'm glad you had that meeting.
Yep.
All right, so the advisory panel will meet at a later date to decide who should be next in line for the vaccine, with possibilities including teachers, police officers, firefighters, all of who we mentioned yesterday.
Yes.
Other essential workers, and people with underlying health conditions.
Mm-hmm. They'll pick Hollywood next.
First of all, if you're over, 80, that's an underlying health condition.
Yeah, that's definitely, big time.
I feel like this meeting they're talking about was just an email. I think we all agree it's frontline workers. Anybody want to write in black and white that it's not
should have been
be
an email?
Workers?
No, Phil, I've seen these meetings unfold on these government channels, C-SPAN and CTGov, Connecticut.
That one's really too loud.
Oh, Jesus. You watch 5 minutes, you're like, this is why nothing gets done.
Right.
Because it's 80 people just talking because they want to sound smart.
Of course.
I think just we all agree. We can move on.
I have something more to say.
Experts say the vaccine probably won't be widely available until the spring.
Okay.
Experts. Okay.
Right. Well, spring is terrible.
We know. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Experts.
You know what it is? The vaccine talk, everybody was interested in what they had to say, and now we're all like, okay, well, it's going to come in somewhere by the end of 2021. I'll get it. And now no one wants to talk to them anymore.
No.
So I'm like, wait, we have, hold on.
We had a meeting.
I don't care.
Yesterday, oh, here's something to make a note of.
What?
Yesterday, the CDC reduced the number of days a person should be quarantined.
Oh.
Thanks.
Oh.
Everyone who's been in quarantine for 2 weeks would like to say, F you.
Right. And thanks for all the sleep.
So we're changing it from 14 days to 7 to 10 days.
Oh, look at that.
You can end like after 7 days with a negative test result.
Like shipping. 7 to 10 days.
Dr. Fauci was asked, when can Broadway reopen?
Really?
Which, it all depends on the showing.
Which, well, the question came to him
right.
from someone in New York.
Exactly.
And to me, that says, when can we all go back to concerts?
Right.
Yeah.
It depends. If Hello Dolly's still out there, you cannot go back. It's been on way too long. I don't like Hello Dolly anymore.
He said, we need, wait, you don't like Hello Dolly anymore?
Nah, it's too passe. It's been on for too many years, for Christ's sake.
Is it still running?
No, Hello Dolly, that's the longest running one ever. Yeah, then Oklahoma.
I thought it was Cats.
Why is it Oklahoma's the most boring place I've ever been to in my life? Why is there a Broadway musical about Oklahoma?
I don't think any of these are playing anymore.
No, they still are. I saw them just the other day. I was walking past. I saw the marquee.
You were walking down the street?
Yeah, I was wearing a mask. I was socially distancing. Yeah, there was nobody else in the street. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was walking.
Oh,
I was
okay.
trying to find a donut. Because we're out of Twinkies over here, so.
Is Hello Dolly still playing?
It's so nice
Phil's
to have her back.
Phil's fact-checking you right now.
The longest-running Broadway show, Phantom of the Opera. Over 13,000 performances.
I know, it's very phantomy.
Next in line was Cats.
You've been fact-checked.
Dr. Fauci, you've been fact-checked.
It's a well-known fact that Phil's an idiot.
Then a chorus line. A.J. Fauci should have known that.
That's right.
I was saying the longest-running ever was Hello, Dolly.
Phantom of the Opera.
What
does he
Cats.
Know? He's in a computer. He's probably infected already.
Yes, what do I know?
He caught a virus. You know who's not getting a virus vaccine? That son of a bitch in there.
He's the last one on the planet.
Exactly. I'll give it to a frog before I give it to Goose Boy.
You know,
a frog.
You know, if they want to have a meeting that we'd be interested in, that's what we want to know. Who will be the very last person on the planet to get the virus?
It says here, Phil Antonelli.
All right, who's second to last?
All those people that spit in other people's faces.
Who's talking right now?
Yeah, it's got to be somebody like a terrorist or something, right?
No.
No?
I'm worse than a terrorist. That's what you're saying.
Who's the traffic person who's on right now?
Hey.
Go with that one.
Right? It would be a terrorist, no?
Yeah, Walt Disney.
Right?
Walt Disney is
already dead, so.
He's frozen.
He's on ice.
And they're gonna thaw him out one day.
They're going to put him in the same freezer with the vaccines.
No, they're going to. He's in the same freezer.
Well, we got Jimmy Hoffa over here. Some vaccines, and then there's Walt Disney.
Exactly. He's holding on to all the files for you.
And there's Ted Williams' head right over there.
And he won't shut up.
Who on the planet does most people just hate? Like, we equally hate.
I'm going to go with Phil Antonelli.
All right. So, there you go. Broadway, he says, can open probably by the fall of 2021. Which to me says concerts full swing. Because Broadway, remember, mostly elderly.
That's true.
Exactly.
A high percentage.
Right. It's like 4 o'clock show is watching Matlock by 7.
He says we need 75% to 85% of the population to be vaccinated. Here's the thing with New York. New York's a petri dish of the planet.
It's true.
It's not like going to, Litchfield.
I changed my shoes and I walked back inside. From all the filth out there. I had my walking shoes outside, and I changed in the lobby.
All right, we have a clip of President-elect Joe Biden. He has a special request for Lin-Manuel Miranda. Do you know who that is?
That's the guy from Hamilton.
Yeah. Regarding Janet Yellen, Biden's nominee for Treasury Secretary, who will be the first female to hold the position.
We might have to ask...
Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote the musical about the first Secretary of Treasury, Hamilton, to write another musical about the first woman Secretary of the Treasury, Yellen. So that's what I'm working on right now, Janet.
All right, he gets the last shot. He gets the last shot. Never mind, hey, Goose Boy, you're off the list. He gets the last one.
I believe he gets the first one.
Oh, no, he gets a different kind of shot.
I'm sure he's already had two.
He gets a shot in the ass.
And then he lost his mask.
Of course he did.
Janet, thanks for accepting. Appreciate it. I think they're going to clean this off for us here.
So now he's walking away from the podium.
Right.
He walks away with his notebook. Somebody walks up, and they're spraying down the podium.
Oh.
They didn't spray the mic.
Right.
They spray the podium. He sits down. She comes up, the next speaker. Then he realizes, wait, I lost my... Hold on, where's my mask? He walks back up to the podium. Here he comes.
Excuse me, Janet. Mask on.
He has no mask on.
Oops.
No, I put it in my book.
Wait. Oh, it's in my book.
No, it's in my butt.
It's in my butt.
It's in my butt.
He was wearing, like, underwear.
I did. My butt.
He did.
I did. My butt.
He thought it was a thong underwear. It was like, very disgusting. You can keep that mask.
It was like
a
NASCAR pit stop. The guy comes in. He puts the little box down for the little shorty to stand on. He's wiping everything down. He's got his mask on. And he walks over. He's like, oh, sorry. I left it somewhere.
But she walks up. The Treasury Secretary walks up. Right. With her mask on. He walks up with no mask. Hey, did you see my mask? Anybody see my mask?
Butt. Where are my pants?
Where's my mask?
Where's my mask?
Where's my mask?
Where's my pants?
I feel like he sat down, looked up, and saw everybody like making a motion like, your mask. And he's like, oh,
my mask. Is this my mask or my mask? That's your mask, sir. M-A-S-K. Gary, New Haven, random celebrity encounter.
Hello. Hello, Chaz.
Got the whole show.
Hello, Gary.
Yeah, this guy I call a senior. Anyways, August 69.
Wait, did you just give your name and say senior?
You meant senior.
Did you say your full name and say senior?
Gary Cole, senior.
Right. Okay.
You know my boy.
There's a junior. Okay, anyways, I gotcha.
They're having the premiere of the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid at was Yale sponsored at the Roger Sherman, and I knew the head usher, so me and Gary's mom, we got dressed up, got ushered right across the aisle from Paul Newman, Barbara Streisand, Robert Redford, and Joanne Woodward.
Holy crap! Nice.
Yeah, so I watched the movie, and there's like 5 minutes to go. They get up and they leave, but I'm not missing the the end of the shootout, you know. And so I go over to, after the thing, I go over to Maury's because it was Yale sponsored. And they're right on the sidewalk talking to the mayor candidate, the black guy, got Henry something.
And, I remember who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I go over to Paul Newman and Robert Redford standing there. I'm looking down at Robert Redford, and I'm 5'9".
Really?
And,
Phil, he's tiny?
Hold on. Phil, can you look up how tall Robert Redford is? You always
he's
think of him
5'7".
As
27
so,
inches. Wow. Like TV.
He's dreamy.
So he fits in your TV?
Oh, man, back in the day. Holy crap.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably still.
Paul Newman had two Heinekens in his hand. So he says, I walk up and he says, hey, kid, you want a Heineken? You want a beer? I says, oh, yeah, sure. And they're talking to Henry, whatever his name was. And,
yeah, the mayor.
And that was it. I couldn't go into Maury's, but I got to meet him.
That's cool.
And you grabbed his hiney.
You know, there's not one Paul Newman encounter we've ever heard where it wasn't pleasant.
Exactly. Very nice man.
Man, think about that.
Yep.
How many people do you meet?
Yeah, it was a good
when
dude.
You're Paul Newman.
Yep.
And people just walk up, and you're eating or private moment, and just, hey, you're Paul Newman.
It's like, I know.
Especially in this state, you know, like I feel like everybody's got a story.
Yeah. I mean, there's not one story where it was a little bit of a dick.
Like, get away from me, way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like, hey, can't you see I'm eating here?
Exactly. these blue eyes can't see in front.
I got to have Amanda call in and just share with you all of her Paul Newman stories.
Oh, right.
She was a camper at Hole in the Wall Gang Camp, the camp that he started for kids with really, you know, who were really, 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 really sick. and she was there when she was young, and she's met him a number of times. She flew on a private jet with him once.
Jeez.
Oh.
After all, he's carrying packages for him, everything.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
She said, we took off. We flew to Chicago. It's like an hour flight or whatever. He made sure that there was a case of Heineken on the beer. The entire case of Heineken was gone by the time they landed. He was the only one drinking beer. They get to the hotel room. He orders wine. They leave the same night, same plane. There was a new case of Heineken on the plane, and he drank that whole case on the way back.
Wow.
Over like 5 hours.
He must have peed a lot.
He must have peed a lot.
That's the rage I was falling on my head. Yeah.
He was either sitting in the plane drinking beer or in the bathroom.
Or standing there. Yeah. Exactly.
He's
right.
Just a beer recycler.
That's all he was. Yep.
The point, Heineken,
a lot of kidney action there.
Never a fan.
Oh, see, a nice cold one, I can go for a couple of those.
Yeah, it's strong, too.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the beer.
It's not like Michelob Light. You drink a case of Heineken.
Right, or Michelob Ultra.
And the point of this story is that's what it took for him to get to this gala in Chicago, because he hated going to the fancy things.
Right.
He just wanted to be at the camp and help the kids. But he had to go and do these things to get the money to help them. So he's like, all right, this is what you're going to do. You're going to send me a private jet. You're going to stock it full of beer, and I'm not staying.
And why he was so nice. He was drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, but there are people who like doing what they do.
Yeah.
He loved acting. He didn't like being a celebrity.
He loved beer.
Yeah. No. Robert Redford, height, from what I can find, by the way, 5'10", and Paul Newman was 5'9".
Oh, not bad.
All right. I mean, it's not really tall.
No. Yeah. No.
John in Middletown, you have a Paul Newman story? We have a few seconds. What do you got?
Yeah, I do. We were over there probably 30 years ago at his place in Westport, and we're resurfacing his tennis court. When we got done, my boss said, all right, I'll play a couple of matches with you. So he had one of his guys come over with a golf cart and a big, huge cooler, and it was full of Coors Light.
Coors Light?
Coors Light, and it only had like two sodas in there, two cans of soda, and it was me and my buddy were over 21, and the other kids were all 16 or under, and they were working with us. So me and my buddy had to split all the Coors Light, and the kids had to split the two sodas.
Coors Light, so that was his athletic beer. Like, I'm going to play tennis, I'm going to drink Coors Light.
Right. Don't you, like, weigh down?
I'm flying on a plane, I'm drinking Heineken.
Right, exactly, right.
So Heineken's too heavy to play tennis. I drink a case of Heineken and play tennis.
Right, you can't do that. I get the burps.
I got a roll, brother. Thank you for the story.
Bill Caron, Deputy Director of New Haven Parks and Public Works, on the phone now. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey,
Bill Caron's on.
Bill Caron's on. Great to be here again.
A lot of coffee.
Thank you.
Yep.
We're trying it again. Here we go. So we were planning to move the tree on Monday, but you know, we had another windstorm, so we had to cancel. So we're trying it today, and the weather is in our favor.
It's going to be the most appreciated Christmas tree on the New Haven Green.
Yeah.
Yes, ever.
The first one got smashed, the second one delayed, and now here we go again.
To take the roots on this one, just like plant it. Just plant the tree there forever.
I know, we should.
So the tree, we'll see it, some of us will see it driving down the road today.
Yes, yeah, so we'll be coming from Hamden today, so we apologize for the traffic jam on probably Whitney Avenue around 10:30, but we will make it quick. It's a smaller tree than we had the first time, so it won't take too long.
Are you decorating it today too?
We're going to try to start putting the lights on today.
Oh, that's aggressive.
In a time crunch here, our goal is to have it ready for next Thursday.
Wow. Meanwhile, it's down on the ground, decorated. You know, while it's laying flat.
Right.
Run the stuff on, then put it up all decorated. It'd be really cool.
Or you fly over it with a helicopter and
like
just
that.
Drop it.
Circle, right.
Net of lights on it.
Yeah. Or use a harpoon gun.
Oh, I like
or
that.
No, a boomerang.
Boomerang, that's awesome, because this way it goes around the tree.
Oh, just get that net with the lights and then shoot it. And like it'll fall
Spider-Man
on the tree.
Style.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Spider-Man, that's like what we need. I like that.
Right.
Well, you know what? Usually, you do this once a year, so when you're putting the tree up, the crew's like, oh, yeah, wait, we grabbed that? What do we? You guys just did this a few weeks ago. So
right,
you're all practiced and trained.
Yes, staff is... staff is warmed up. They're good to go, and I want to thank them for their hard work. Also, it's been a crazy past couple months here with the storms and the tree. So it's going to be great once we have the tree lit.
Can you imagine if you got the tree up over the weekend and then that big storm came in Monday?
Oh, that would have sucked.
Can you imagine?
Oh, at that point, it's personal. At that point, it's like, all right.
It's personal.
It's personal.
It really is.
Yeah, at that point.
You'd see Bill on the green. Why?
And then lightning bolt, zap.
Yeah.
Like in Caddyshack.
Exactly.
Oh, rat farts.
Yep. This is fantastic. All right, so... the tree should be on the green today, should go up today, and then maybe even the decorating begins today.
Yes, that's true. So, if you guys are around, stop in and say hello, or we'll provide you an update. So.
Well, Ashley wants to sing at the official lighting.
Yep, I've been practicing.
Didn't the tree go down already?
All right, good.
Bill's like, yeah, all right, good.
He's like, please,
keep practicing
please.
Somewhere
else. Make it happen.
Yeah, the 12th and never.
And today at the bout?
The McRib sandwich.
Mm.
The McRib making its way back into our mouths for the first time store-wide since 2012.
It's not making its way back into my mouth.
2012. You enjoyed it when we brought it in. You had one you said was good.
It's never made it into my mouth.
Well, now's your chance to have it in your mouth. Put it in your mouth.
Right, I don't want it in my mouth.
Oh, trust me. You want this. Nah. You want the pulled pork in your mouth. Yes.
I'll try it in my mouth.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want it in my mouth.
Oh, you definitely do. Something warm, hot, and juicy in your mouth, you definitely do.
No.
Yep. You
I'm
definitely
good.
Do. Right, with the nice sauce and everything, yeah. The pickles and the onions and all the nice soft roll. The nice soft roll, my God, yeah. I mean, like I said, the last time, 2012.
I will not be putting that meat in my mouth.
See, in 2012, they had it. They brought it back for everybody because it's originally like.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Yeah, 2012 is when they had it in all the stores. Then after that, they brought it back to
is
a couple.
Is that the last time you had a McRib?
No, they didn't. In 2014, they brought it back in limited stores. And there were like two places over here that had it. 2014, right. And then what happened was after that, all of a sudden, Connecticut was not part of the equation anymore. They had the McRib locator where you could find McRib.
Oh, it was like New Jersey, right?
Yeah, not
Connecticut. Every other state had at least one location.
Yeah.
Except for Connecticut.
Nothing. Absolute zip. Right. So all the Connecticut McRib lovers got screwed. Now, what they had to do this time.
How many are there, really?
A lot. A lot of people. Trust me, there are more McRib lovers than haters. There are more of us than there are of you people.
No.
Just so you
I
know.
Think there
are. You people.
There aren't haters. They're just people who don't care.
No, they're haters. They're the ones who said that it was made out of gym mats and kangaroo meat and other stuff.
Ew.
In every effort to try and make it seem like it was disgusting.
How much is a McRib?
They were. Originally, when they first came out, $1.69.
Right, so
that was back
like
in the late 80s.
They're like $3 now, right?
Probably around three. I would say maybe like $3.49, $3.29.
How much is it to go to like a local barbecue place and get a real
But you get the McRib sandwich. Meal where you get the McRib sandwich with fries and a Coke.
Oh,
for, you know, which is nice, yeah, because you're buying those a la carte other places, so I'm just saying. But what happened was because of the pandemic.
If our CEO, Jeff Warshaw, is listening right now, he's shaking his head in embarrassment.
He's used that with me. Anyway, so it doesn't make sense.
That's why he doesn't do Taste of Haven with you.
This is why it goes directly to you and not to me. Right. But in any event, because of the pandemic, they have to have it in all the stores now because they don't want crowds forming at
crowds.
Certain location.
Crowds.
Yeah, there will be crowds. There will be crowds, yes. There'll
hordes
be lines.
Of people waiting for
there'll
the McRib.
There'll be lines for the McRib sandwich, I'm telling you.
Like PS5 lines?
No, not PS5 lines, but more smarter ones.
Smarter ones?
Yes. Not mindless lemmings to run out here. Take my several hundred dollars so I can, stand online and maybe
Today's
get one.
Today's the day.
Today's the day. Comes out today. McRib is in all right. McDonald's
Tell
today.
Us why it's so great.
Why it's so great? Yeah. Okay, well, first you start off, you have this really, really nice, soft, like a bakery-style roll, okay? Nice and soft, and you can smell how
that
nice
roll
it is.
Good.
Yes, it is. And then sitting on that is this savory, boneless pork meat, pork rib, right?
I don't even know what it is. Whatever.
No, it's not gym mat. It's pork.
It's meat.
It's boneless pork, okay?
It's pork meat, pork rib.
They took the bones out, and you can stick in your freaking ass in a second. Anyway, so the boneless, and it's dipped in this really tangy, nice barbecue sauce. And it's served hot. I mean, when you bite into it, it's hot.
Wait, it's a rib without a rib.
It's without the bones, exactly right. You ever have boneless rib at a Chinese restaurant? Boneless rib at a Chinese restaurant? Same principle, only it's not cut into tiny pieces. It's in the actual, you know.
Yeah, how do they do that?
They take the bones out. It's easy.
It's in like a cartoon rib shape.
In any event, it's dipped in this nice tangy barbecue sauce, right. And then they put in a couple of fresh green pickles on there, and they put fresh white onions. And it's just, then they put that lid back down on top of it, and it's all sitting there, all savory, and then you sit there and you go through the drive thru. You pull into your spot at McDonald's, and you open that bag, and that's that little of the steam and the smell comes out of the bag. You go, oh my God, I've waited so long for this.
I think it's
you reach in and you pull and you feel that
there's something that sounds like duck after it.
You feel that warm cardboard box in your hand. You're saying, oh yeah, it's tough.
No, but I thought you already opened the box.
No, I didn't. That was the bag. That was the bag with the wolf. That was the bag.
Wow.
Right. Then you pull it out and you sit down on your lap or console of your car and you open it. You go, and you actually see the rays of light from heaven, God saying, yes, my son, for unto you I bring you McRib.
This is the gift God has
exactly
for you.
Exactly, right.
Of all the things he could bring you.
Right. Jesus was first. McRib came later on. Right. Exactly, right.
He gave you Jesus.
This is a lot easier.
Now he's giving you the McRib.
It's a lot easier to handle McRib, okay? Then you take it with both hands.
Could have given you a Harley.
You have to make sure.
He's giving you the McRib.
That's my third one. But what you do is you have to hold with two hands, because what happens is it's got the onions and the pickles. If you lift it up loosely and it opens up, it spills into your cardboard container. You don't want that. You want everything to fall in your mouth the way it was designed to be by God. And what you do is you hold on. Shut up. You hold on to it, and you raise it.
A question.
You take it. You look at it for a second as if, oh my God, you're mine. And then you take that first savory bite, and as you feel as your teeth clench down upon that soft.
Do you want
roll,
us to leave you alone with the McRib?
If you're around, definitely. And and you bite down into it, and you just take that rush of the tangy barbecue sauce, the fresh pork meat, the pickles, and the onions.
Are
all,
we really going to call it fresh pork meat?
In a symphony, I'm going to strangle you in a second.
It's frozen. Let's be
shut
honest.
Up! And it's
right.
A symphony.
I've never seen, like, a pig
and it's
outside
so
of McDonald's.
And it's so easy to eat also, because what happens is you end up getting two of them, because what happens is you go by so fast because it's very soft to eat. Next thing you know, like, oh my God, it's gone already. That's why you should always buy two of them. Always have two McRibs with your French fries and your Coke.
Buy two of them. Always have two. That's a shirt.
Do you bring it home? You have to eat it in your car? Can you bring it home?
You can bring it home, but you want to eat it while it's nice and hot and fresh. Because you don't get just stuck in traffic.
How many
cools
are you
going
to buy today?
Buy two of them.
I'd like to buy two of them. Yes, right.
All right, the tribe wants to check in here. I think they want to join in on the love for
please,
the McRib. The McRib
please.
Is back. Speaking of a weekend treat, let's start with this new Godfather. When I say new, air quotes, Godfather Coda,
yeah.
The death of Michael Corleone, which is they took Godfather 3,
forgot
and
about it,
retooled it
because it was pretty bad.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he did. Obviously, you know, I'm a Godfather freak. I didn't like Godfather 3, and I don't know how you could really fix it without replacing Sofia Coppola as the daughter. I mean, she was to me one of the biggest detriments. And the final scene of the movie, which is supposed to be horrendously tragic, you know, when she's killed. I'm not kidding. The night I saw that in a theater in New York, people applauded.
They fist pumped. Yeah! She's dead!
But, you know, apparently it is much better. Vanity Fair ran a piece where Diane Keaton, who said she wasn't crazy about, you know, the movie when she saw it originally, thinks it is now, you know, much better, and she was happy, you know, that he did it.
Coppola can't stop tinkering with his movies, and
yeah.
The reason why he couldn't change anything in The Godfather is because it won an Academy Award.
Yeah, you can't touch
it. Rule, once
right,
it wins,
right.
You cannot
right.
tinker.
Right, it's untouchable. Right.
I think
Godfather 3 suffered from 1 and 2 being so great. It's like being that person in the family. You're a doctor, but the other two are scientists and, like, came up with a cure of cancer.
And whatnot. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, all right, well, I'm smart.
Right.
I'm smart, too, Mike.
I'm a
no,
a
you're not. You hand out Advil.
I'm a veterinarian.
Right.
Right.
I mean, the problem there was Godfather 1 and 2 were made within 2 years of each other and, you know, fit together perfectly in my mind as one big epic. Godfather 3 wasn't made until 16 years later, and they had to put in all kinds of new stuff with Joe Mantegna and Andy Garcia that, in my opinion, just wasn't up to the level of the material in the original Godfather.
Keith sent me some stuff, and I read up on it yesterday, and I kind of clicked through the movie just to kind of refresh myself because okay. I knew we'd be talking about it today. And Godfather 3, one of the biggest changes he's making with this coda is he's cutting out the first 40 minutes. It takes 40 minutes before Michael Corleone sits down and tries to make a deal to get his operation legitimate.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So immediately you learn, because the first 40 minutes is kind of like we're reflecting on him feeling guilty about killing Fredo. We're reflecting on this, reflecting on that. They get right to that.
Right
and
to
then
business.
Now you know, here is the plot of the movie.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you very much. It didn't take 40 minutes to get there. They took a sheen off the movie that made it look like old school movie. But it was filmed in the 70s, so they took that off. And then there was some other cuts that they made. As I was looking through the movie, I thought, you know what? You can't undo this mess because it's like a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
The action scenes are so terrific. It's not old school 1930s New York.
Yeah, no.
Guy drives by and shoots you or he takes a piano wire and chokes you out.
Right, one of those things.
These are amazing plots and death and big giant
like
James Bond scenes.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with one or two.
Right. And Pacino's in it.
Yeah.
And here's the other problem. I'm talking more than the movie guy here. But I did a little research.
Right.
I was watching Pacino act in this, and this is when he turned from being an actor who underacted, just got into character, to where he started doing the overacting.
Hey, he's shouting all the time. He talks like
the
this.
The shouting started.
Oh, wow.
The shouting Pacino. Yeah.
Right. Why
and then
are we
a
here?
Stupid line. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Right.
I'm like, it was a little over.
Who are you shooting, Kevin? Why? Why?
That's right.
Hooah! I'm going to put a contract on him. Hooah!
Hooah!
So, Joe, you're going to watch it?
Oh, sure. But, I mean, Coppola doesn't have a great history with reworking his movies. I mean, he has redone Apocalypse Now, I want to say, 3 or 4 times. In that case, he's added stuff. And none of the reworkings were better than the original. So I think when you're tinkering, it's hard to take the material that you shot years and years ago and rework it into something, you know, new.
Yeah. It's like a song. When you release that, everybody hears it. Leave it alone.
Yep,
it's out there for the world, and this is now the song.
Yep. Zip it.
I don't know if you remember, but about Spielberg back in the early 80s did a different version of Close Encounters where he added shots of Richard Dreyfuss going into the ship, and everybody agreed that that was not good, and he has since, I believe, withdrawn that different version.
Wow.
You know, I say stick with the original. For good or bad.
Right.
They did the same with Star Wars. They started to try to add new effects.
Yep.
And people are like, why are you doing this?
Don't touch it.
You know, and it tampers with your memories, too. You know, it makes you think like, well, do I remember this? Do I remember that?
Was I high that day?
Yeah, exactly.
Another problem with 3 is didn't it come out like the same year that Goodfellas came out?
It was 1990. This is the 30th anniversary year of both of those movies. Yes.
Wow.
And it really suffered in comparison to that, for sure.
Kidding.
You're right.
Well, it became a whole. Goodfellas became the new standard of how mob movies are shot.
Oh yeah.
Epic cast.
Yeah.
Totally. A great book just came out called Made Men about the making of Goodfellas. Very enjoyable to go back and see how Scorsese put that picture together.
Is that the greatest movie ever made? It's one of them.
It's
top
near
five.
The top. Yep.
Yeah. You could dial into any scene in that movie and see the brilliance.
Yep.
Exactly. So right from that second, you're like, I'm watching this now. I'm watching this over here.
Yeah.
Is that Dr. Fauci or Joe Pesci?
No, it's Joe Pesci over here.
Oh,
I sound like
similar.
Fauci for a second. I got you, Henry. I got you. You're stuttering a little bit. You're like,
hey, Henry, look, a wing.
Look at that. You want a leg or a wing?
Good morning, Chad and Ray J.
You're close.
I have great news, guys.
All right.
Great news.
What?
I'm going to sign an executive order. You're going to love this. I'm going to bundle every dose of the COVID vaccine with a new PS5.
Oh, nice.
You're welcome. You're welcome,
just
America.
Talking about that.
Nice.
PS5.
And I have more great news.
Okay.
I'm only a couple hundred million coronavirus cases from being the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Can you believe it?
Oh, you'd be great.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
New York Times reporting that you were discussing a preemptive pardon for Don Jr., Ivanka, Jared, Eric, and your lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Is that true?
Well, it's fake news, but if I was, you know, I'm the president, I can pardon anyone I want. I can even pardon myself. I just don't do that in public. So, of course, I'm thinking about pardoning Ivanka, Eric, Don Jr., and Rudy, let's say. Okay? I figure I'll pardon them. And that way, they can go off and commit any crime they want free of charge. Like if Ivanka wants to pull off an elaborate diamond heist with Jared, she can do that. Or Don Jr. wants to spray paint Trump rules on the Clinton Library down in Little Rock.
Nice.
Now, nothing says I'm innocent like a get-out-of-jail card on the way out. You know what I mean?
Attorney General Barr says there's no evidence that there's enough fraud that would have changed the election outcome.
You know, that is incredibly disappointing to hear from about-to-be former Attorney General William Barr. But in all fairness, I like Billy Big Jowls. I like that guy. I'm willing to accept his apology for that statement and just chalk it up to the food coma he's been in since he ate those 3 turduckins on Thanksgiving.
You know, I forgot all about turduckins.
Oh, my God, yeah. Right.
Remember those?
Yeah, that was a thing.
Well, anymore, he ate them all, so.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The gluttons love them.
Right. Damn, Attorney General. Are you going to fire him?
Well, I'm not considering it, but if I was going to fire Barr, I would do it respectfully, you know, respectfully on Twitter.
Class.
Right, like you did the other guy.
Class.
Right.
All right. Well, before Attorney General made his conclusion, you said that the reason you lost, in addition to widespread fraud, was massive dumps of votes in key swing states. Can you explain that?
Okay, look, people need to realize these massive dumps of illegal Biden votes cost me the election. They cost me. The only person who hates massive dumps more than me is our White House janitor. That I can tell you.
That sounds about right.
So much evidence, Chaz, can I tell you? So much evidence with these dumps. We're guaranteed a win. I mean, my legal team is 1-for-39. I mean, one more loss and we'll have to change our name to the New York Jets.
No, you don't want to do
that. Talking about?
No.
Is Joe Biden there with you?
I'm here, man. No, here we go again. Oh, right. Boy.
He's back.
Hey, Donald. Hey, guys, you going to concede or what, Jack? Come on, the last time I had to wait this long, I was in line for bladder medication at the pharmacy, man.
Last week?
Sleepy Joe, you have the gracefulness of Gerald Ford and the athletic ability of FDR.
Yeah, so...
that is cruel, man.
President-elect Biden, you suffered a couple hairline fractures in your foot playing with your dog?
Yeah, I'm doing just fine, though. I tell you, luckily my son Hunter was right there to help me back up and take me to the hospital. You know, normally, he's sleeping off a late-night bender.
How fortunate.
You know, guys, as you can probably tell, Sleepy Joe's totally falling apart. They may have just given me a boot to wear for a couple weeks, but I gave you the boot in 2020 for good, pal. Okay? Just make sure. Oh, no. No, Major. Down, boy. He's humping the boot, guys. Forgive me.
Oh.
It happens.
Seriously.
The boot on your foot, right?
Nice.
You know, at this rate, he's going to be the first president to be sworn in at the inauguration in a full body cast. I mean, maybe just put a helmet on Sleepy Joe, you know, just to be safe.
So,
Major!
So I heard Melania's going to publish a memoir.
Yeah, that's right. And she's also writing a book. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, and it has an amazing working title. Are you ready for this? It's going to leap off the cover. She's calling it Be Best Book.
Be Best Book.
Be
nice.
Best yes. Book ever.
Be best book. Yes, right.
Be Best Book ever.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. The First Lady autobiography, it's going to be the first one to have a fully nude centerfold. It's going to be a huge bestseller.
Of her,
believe
right?
me.
Not you.
Well, we wish her all the best.
Thank you. I'll pass that on.
And,
she's still sleeping.
President-elect Biden, thank you. Are you still there?
Huh?
Hello?
Got a major problem.
What?
All right, I think we're going to go. take care of your foot.
Oh, will do, guys. Nothing to worry about it. Major. Oh, that's just Major telling me he took a whiz on the Christmas tree.
Sure wasn't you.
Stay you.
This was my idea.
Okay.
All right. Don't get mad at Phil on this one.
I will anyway.
I know you will.
He says, good morning, I'm mad.
All right. That is true.
Thank you.
Good morning, AJ.
Chip.
Yesterday, we were playing this video that the company made celebrating you as winner of
the nice, heartfelt video
employee
from the people
of the
I
quarter.
Love here. Yes.
And we thought, you know, everything.
Co-employee of the quarter.
Right. Everything in right. this day and age doesn't go unmolested.
No.
Everyone has to remix stuff or add music. And I thought, I said, Phil, why don't we add AJ being really mad? We'll put clips of AJ throughout this whole deal.
Right.
Right?
And okay.
See how it sounds.
Look at this. The sign-in sheet. Your name is always at the top. You're the first one here every day. AJ's at the top. AJ's at the top. AJ's at the top. AJ's at the top. AJ's at the top.
Hey, it's Chaz. I've been working with AJ for about 25 years now.
History happened.
And what can I say about him that I haven't already said?
Who gives a rat's ass? I don't care.
Hey, AJ. Congratulations on Employee of the Quarter. So well deserved. It's nice for you to get the accolades instead of being picked on for your flip-flops and all sorts of other things.
Every friggin' thing I do, it's annoying!
AJ, congratulations, Employee of the Quarter, you did it!
If I have to recut the spot because you filmed it, I'd knife you.
Who was complaining that you never win anything, you know, the lottery, this? Well, you did it, man, and you deserve it.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Man, you do so much for the community, buddy, and you make me laugh. Every single day.
Get off the phone, moron!
You truly deserve it, mostly because you never say no.
This is the shit I had to put up with in this town.
Unreal. You want to live in a box. You want to shoot fireworks. You want to pedal a bike for 24 hours.
Okay, people, get a friggin' life.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. No matter what we ask, you are up for the challenge.
You know what? F all of you. I don't care.
You have such a positive spirit in the building.
Everybody out there sucks. The world sucks. Wow. Okay? And I don't care who you vote for. They're going to suck too.
Most people, maybe listeners, don't realize what a nice guy you are.
You know what? Shut up. Just shut up. Wow, here's your soundbite. Bye.
So on behalf of everybody, congratulations, AJ. See you soon.
I was told the boss to shut up.
That was good. The last part was not me. Not me. I'm a nice guy over here.
That made it so much better now.
If I have to pack up and knife you.
You know what's amazing about that clip is that when you hear it, you know that with every ounce of your being,
oh yeah,
you mean it.
Oh, yeah. In that moment.
Oh, yeah. No, it's real.
If you have to recut this spot because of him, you will knife him.
Yes, I will.
Then we immediately were like, you have to, we called our production director, like, you have to email AJ right now and say he has to cut the spot again.
Yeah, I was livid. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Really? That was good, though. That was really good. I liked it.
All right, good.
I liked it. I'm going to copy.
All right, good. We'll post it today.
Cool.
On the radio station website. And then, you know, Paul Simon's house is in the news. It's in New Canaan. He bought it for $16 million. How much did he pay?
$16 million.
16.9 million.
Right. Then they had it for 13.9.
Then
now it's down to
11.9.
Yeah, it's going down, down, down.
And this is the house where didn't he get arrested?
Yeah, he had a little domestic altercation, a little shoving match with Eve Brickell from the New Bohemians, his wife.
Right.
And she had the cops called on him. He got arrested. So he wrote a song about it back in the day.
Hello, lawyers, my old friends. Need you to bail me out again. Because a fight I had with wife Edie resulted in a ride with the PD. And now the inmates are planning something in an hour in the jail shower with the sound of handcuffs. An hour ago while in our place, she went and got into my face. She told me that we never do a thing. I told her why not go and learn to sing. And my comment caused her to start to throw a fit. Well, holy sh! Next came the sound of handcuffs. And in the red lights, then I saw a dozen cops, could have been more. Keep your hands up's what they said to do. Refuse and then we will have to tase you. And the only sound at that point came to pass right from my ass. Then the sound of handcuffs.
That's a classic.
You love listening to yourself.
You know what? No, the production always, that one was so cool.
It's great.
You know?
No, but anything we play with you, you sit there in such delight, enjoying yourself.
Well, you know, you write something you really want, comes from the heart. You want people laughing and proud of it. Yeah. I do. I can't help it.
Well, that came out great.
Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.